Good morning. Good morning. Looks like the day, by the way, happy Halloween. Looks like the day is starting to clear up a little bit. Looks kind of nice out there. Guys, we're going to be joined by Jack Spillane here in a moment. He's sitting in front of me. I just want to give out the Project Bread phone number one more time. It's a Boston area code, but they can help you out locally. If you're hungry, you should not be hungry, okay? We have plenty of money. Mark Montigny identified hundreds of millions of dollars in the state budget that can be used to backstop EBT, but that's a conversation for another day. Today, I'm concerned about you. So if you're going to be hungry, fear you're going to be hungry, I want you to call these folks at Project Bread. They'll get you hooked up. It's totally confidential and all that stuff. The phone number, very easy, 617-723-5000, all right? 617-723-5000. And I want to tell you, I got this information from Governor Healey's press conference, where she had the director of Project Bread in the United Way. And remember, the United Way is available here in New Bedford. Paula Montgomery runs a great shop. It's in the DeMello International Center. They can help you out as well, okay? Nobody should go hungry at all. And you won't. You will not go hungry. But you got to tell somebody, okay? You got to tell somebody. Pride comes before the fall. So reach out. United Way at the DeMello International Center, Project Bread. You could call Senator Montigny's office. They can hook you in with the right resources as well. Anyway, we're now joined by my friend, the first chronicler of history here in New Bedford, Jack Spillane from New Bedford Light. What's happening, Jack? How are you?
The guy that drives all your listeners crazy.
They do. You do drive them crazy, but you know what? You give them good information. Jack, talk about this latest column you have. I'll have you characterize it. It's on the ballot instructions, but go ahead.
So, you know, the column is really about plunking. Yes. And anybody who's been around New Bedford politics for a while knows about plunking in the at-large race, also at the school committee race to a much lesser extent.
Yep.
You know, you have a favorite candidate. You think they're the best, the most honest, the most liberal, the most conservative. You plunk for them, and it deprives the other candidates of a vote in a multi, you know, five people get elected out of a big field, a field of 10 in the at-large race. So I got a complaint. It was actually from one of the supporters of one of the challengers that the ballot said vote for five. And so I asked Manny Medeiros, the election commission chair, about it. And he said, oh, yeah, well, we have to use what the vendor gives us. And, of course, I was not satisfied with that answer because I said, no, the city of New Bedford is running the elections. The city can tell the vendor what it wants. It might cost more money, but they can tell them what the answer they want. So long story short, that's the way it was in the preliminary election, vote for five, which means a person like me who is, you know, a good doobie, I'm the kind of kid that the nun said, you know, vote for five. I you know, even if I didn't like the fourth and fifth, I was going to vote for the five.
Right.
More shrewd people than me would say, I'm not voting for five under any circumstances.
Right.
You can tell me to do it all day long. I'm not doing it. But for the people who did it, it gives an advantage for the people who know how to plunk.
Right.
And so I asked about it, you know, and then he went upstairs, as he said in my column, and the solicitor's office, the mayor's office, whoever, came back with, we're going to change it for the final election to say vote for no more than five. Now, this has gone, I researched the ballots back to 1999 when I first got here.
Yep.
Maria Tomasio was the election commission chair for all those years. And she went back and forth herself.
Okay.
With no discernible reason. So when Manny came on, he was going vote for five all the time. And then just like that, they've changed it for vote for no more than five in the final. So the column, Chris, to me, is really about kind of like the sleepiness of the bureaucracy at City Hall.
Yes.
I compared it to the longevity pay where people said, well, yeah, of course we're going to pay the elected officials longevity pay. We always have.
Right. We don't question because we did it before. We'll do it again.
Yeah. I mean, somebody made the decision in the beginning, and that's an interesting story, and I have my own feelings about that.
Yes.
But after that, they just went along. And so the vote for five instruction is sort of like that to me. That's what the company gives us. That's what we do.
Blaming the vendors is Manny DiBrito's. He's done it in the past. Just blaming the vendors, which is kind of ridiculous. But
yeah. Like, as I've said, I like Manny. I work well enough with him. I don't see any discernible difference between the competency of him and Maria Tomasi. At City Hall, there are departments that are very, very efficient, very sharp.
Yes.
Departments that are reasonable, are good enough, shall we say. But good enough is not always good enough, in my opinion. So I have my two cents. I got a little bit of pushback. I had one commenter who wrote, well, nobody had to tell me I always had to vote. I didn't have to vote for five. But everybody's built differently. And there's some people who say vote for five, they're going to vote for five.
One of the best features of the New Bedford Light, outside of the great people that work there, the journalists, the columnists, is the fact that people can go on the website and type answer, put comments up there. I find those to be, after I'm done reading the column, I love reading those because they are really, really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, they are vetted. So,
oh, you don't just put anything up?
No, I mean, because we would be sued for libel.
I guess that's right, Jack. I didn't think about it that way. I mean, it's not Facebook.
It's in print. And it's,
right.
Well, they're the Facebook comments, but there's also the comments on our own website.
That's what I mean, the comments on your own website.
Yeah, and the comments on our own website are usually very good, or at least they make you think. But there are some complaints by people who want to lob grenades in the comments section, and no, we don't allow them to do that.
Right. We have Jack Spillane here. Jack, you had the column the week before on the longevity pay. You uncovered the woman that said, what's going on here? That asked the question, why are we doing this? And as you ended the column, she just didn't understand how things are done here in Bedford.
Andrea Sanchez, longtime Walmart employee who went to online college on Walmart's dime, got her degree and promptly put her resume out there, landed in the city of New Bedford. And she just didn't know it was a question she wasn't supposed to ask. And especially with elected officials.
Sure.
Anybody who's politically savvy would know, if they're doing it that way, there's a reason they're doing it that way. So she asked about it. The first time they said, oh, it's too late, Andrea. We're already far along in the check-cutting process. Nothing we can do about it. But she didn't go away the next year because she was, and this is another success story. She was hired as an assistant clerk, and within a year, she was the audit supervisor in the treasurer's office for payroll.
Private sector.
Very competent person.
Sure.
So I don't think she was above her abilities or anything. But so the second year, she came back and asked it again. And there was a committee, a payroll committee of some sort that was helping her because she hadn't had that much experience. And it was people from the computer department, the auditor's office, the chief financial officer, the personnel office. They all sent it to the solicitor. And the solicitor, depending on who you believe, the solicitor said, no, you can't do this. Or the solicitor with the cooperation of the mayor said, no, you can't do this.
Right.
But they ended up not doing it. And the rest, as they say, is history.
The mayor wrote a check to the city for $900. Naomi Carney wrote a check for $900. Joe Lopes, I think he was in that range as well. He refunded the money.
But both Linda Morad and Brian Gomes have not paid, and they owe the most money in the thousands of dollars.
Linda Morad decided not to run again for re-election. I don't know if that was a factor. I got to believe it is. But Brian Gomes, he hasn't. I don't think he's commented on it. Nothing.
Yeah, he did. He did on the council floor say, come get me.
That's what he did.
If you think I did anything wrong. I mean, Brian's defense, I think, would be that he was told that he was entitled to it, and he didn't make the decision. It was 35 years ago.
I mean,
Brian's been on a long time, but not quite 35 years, I don't think. So, he took the money, as did the other councilors. That I don't find anything wrong in that. I think the wrongness was in the original decision because,
certainly,
as Andrea said, they're elected officials, and you have to give a reason as to why the person is entitled to this.
Okay.
Because police are entitled to a different amount of longevity. Mm-hmm. Firefighters are entitled to a different amount of longevity. Teachers are different amounts. So there's different amounts of longevity. And the amount that the elected officials was getting was the Unit C managers.
Right.
And so where it said reason for getting it, it said Unit C managers. And Andrea said, but they're not Unit C managers. I even had one city official, I won't say who told me, well, they're managers. I said, no, they're legislators. They're not managers. The mayor is a manager.
Yes. Oh, it really is funny. And it'll be the first election where people get to vote with that in mind.
Yeah, I think that issue, and I've been wrong before, but my gut is that issue has legs. And that is one of the reasons you've seen, I think, in the preliminary, first of all, we have two candidates who are very well organized, raised a lot of money, and are working hard. I don't want to take that away from either one of them, Devin Burns and James Roy.
Yes.
But I think there is an attitude on some of the voters in New Bedford, finally, that anybody but the incumbents, you know.
Yes.
Now, it's not all the incumbents, because obviously Ian Abreu and Shane Burgo, are doing well. Brian Gomes hanging in there.
Yes.
So, but I think there is a feeling that let's get some new blood in there.
I would agree with you.
And we'll deal with whether they're good later.
Yes, I agree with you. I think that both Devin Burns and James Roy are going to be very fascinating from a journalism point of view, from a media point of view. And because, again, they're new, and we'll watch their learning curves, because I do think those two gentlemen are going to make it.
Yeah, I originally thought that Naomi had a good chance to come back, and Naomi Carney, and she may.
She may.
But she's always on the cusp.
Yes.
Fourth or fifth. And I think this year it may be, I mean, she's mobilized now. I don't think she did that much in the preliminary.
Right.
And she's doing some advertising. She has some money. She's changed her name on the ballot.
She has.
And that's not an idle thing.
She tried to change it to Biff McLean, but it didn't work. No, I'm joking.
She changed from Renee Andrews to R.A., which she was always known as. But I think that, I don't know, I just have a feeling that she has not had competition like this before.
Right. I can tell you that she certainly seems like someone who doesn't know how to handle the competition.
I like Naomi Carney.
I like her too.
She's a, I mean, of the 11 counselors, she may be one of the nicest.
Absolutely.
I think she's a better candidate than you might think, but I think that she just hasn't done that much, and I think it's late.
Right.
That's my opinion.
We're going to take a break, and we'll be back more with Jack Splane. If you want to have a comment, we're going to talk more about the local election, which is coming up on Tuesday. Jack Splane will be here from NewBedfordLight.org. Check out all his columns and all the other great journalists that are over there at the New Bedford Light. We'll be right back. Stick around.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
The sun, and I say it's all right.
Welcome back to the program. Unfortunately, we're heading into the winter, so that long, cold, lonely winter is coming up, and that's why you need to head to Carter's Clothing. Carter's Clothing has been in business for 78 years. Same owners, family business, people you can trust, our neighbors. Carter's Clothing has kept the South Coast covered from head to toe, and Carter's is still your go-to store for name brands in clothing and footwear. Name brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and more. At Carter's, you'll find 75 different styles of boots. Steel toe boots, insulated boots, waterproof boots, along with high visibility workwear, flannels, and thermals. I know a lot of the first responders get their thermals and flannels from Carter's Clothing. There's also free parking at both locations, on William Street in New Bedford and on Plymouth Ave in Fall River. It's great. You just drive in, park in the lot, run right in, get your clothes, and head right out. It's perfect. Never have to worry about a parking ticket, finding a parking spot. The Carter's people have it all arranged for you. Go to Carter's Clothing today. We have Jack Spillane here in the studio talking about his columns in the New Bedford Light, and we have an election. Jack, it's a unique time of the year when everybody in politics wants to be liked, so they can get on the city council and then make decisions. They're going to lose friends, right?
Yeah, I always remember, I think it was George Leontief, Fred Kalis's principal aide.
Yes.
Who said to me that he had told Fred Kalis not to run for the fourth term when he lost to Scott Lang, because the longer you're in there, the more people you've had to say no to.
Right.
And the same thing is true with the city council. You know, the longer you're in there, the more people you've had to say no to. And you know, in the at-large races in particular, you can still last because you just have to win one of five spots.
Right.
You know, you may sink down from first to third, you know, but you'll stay. In the ward races, ward councilors get thrown out much more often than
yes.
than at-large councilors. That's why this year is such an interesting year, because it appears that, well, with Councilor Morehead having left, is one open seat, and there's a possibility we'll have two new at-large councilors. So that's interesting.
And I think the preliminary election, the turnout will probably double. It does. That's what it does, right, Jack? Doubles
in the recent, past. That's what it's done. If it's 9%, it goes to 18%. If it's 6%, like it was this year, it goes to 12%.
But with more than 80% of the people not participating, do we have a government? You know what I mean, Jack?
Yeah.
In other words, it's not really the consent of the governed, because 80% of the people or more are ignoring the whole process.
You know what the only election where there's good turnout or halfway decent turnout, and that's the presidential year.
Yep.
And I've thought for a long time that New Bedford should move its election to the presidential year, because then you get 45-50% turnout, which is still not great if you think about it, but it's much
not.
But 45-50% is much better than 12%.
Certainly.
So, but what I've been told is that it would get lost. The local races would get lost in the national race.
I agree with that. If there's only so much radio time to sell to candidates, and the national guys come in with their consultants and the big money, and it would get drowned out. People do get it would get drowned out in the mail, the direct mail. At some point in the big national elections, look at the sheriff's race. I mean, there was so much mail on both sides. People were just thrown in the garbage after a while.
And national money flooding into that race.
That was crazy, right?
Yeah.
That was big time crazy. All right, we got some people on hold who want to speak with Jack Spillane. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Jack.
Mike hey Lima.
How are you?
Doing good.
Good. Jack, I think I'd like to know your opinion, because you've been around for a while. I have a few things on my agenda, Chris, but they're going to be quick. What kind of race do you think Mr. Roy has run?
Well, he's been kind of shrewd in that he hasn't cut a big public figure. He's positioned himself as more moderate than I think he actually is. That's not unusual. I remember Sean Oliver when he ran.
He's
quite a conservative guy, but he
right.
positioned himself as more moderate. That happens.
Right.
But I think he's, I was just talking with Chris. To my knowledge, he has not answered the question of whether he's for or against rent stabilization. And so that's a question that he's going to have to face, because especially if you have a more moderate city council, although I just don't see how Shane Burgo gets that through, because the mayor is always going to veto it.
Right.
But I think he's, the other thing about Roy, and it reminds me a little bit of Paul Heroux's race for sheriff, in that a lot of outside the city money has flooded in.
Yes.
His wife is on the board of the Mass Teachers Association.
Yep.
And we had a caller the last time I was here who said that there was a big difference between the New Bedford Educators Association and the Mass Teachers Association, and I was interested in that.
Yes.
But I don't know what the difference is.
So I can tell you that, for instance, the Mass Teachers Association are all in for Roy, but the New Bedford Teachers Association is all in for Ian Abram. They endorsed him, and there are other candidates probably as well. But I saw it on Facebook. Ian Abram had been endorsed by the New Bedford Teachers Association.
Educators.
Association. Educators, right. Yeah. Well, I got a call. Go ahead.
I'm going to say this. I don't believe in the ideologic things that Roy does, but I think he's run a good campaign. And for me to say that, that's pretty, I'm not a fan of his. but I think he's run a good campaign.
Yep.
But another opinion, Jack, do you think that the Coalition of Social Justice shot their load in the primary and they got nothing more coming for the final?
That's a good question. You know, the Coalition for Social Justice, like any other interest group, the unions, the Chamber of Commerce, whatever you want to call it, have a, you know, they have their own interests and their own group. And they did make an effort to get everybody out. And I have seen in the past them top out in the preliminary. This year, however, what I have heard, and I've heard this secondhand, is that he's out there. He and his campaign are doing the door knocking. He and his campaign are spending the money. They are working it. And there are always, as we saw with the presidential election 2 years ago, people who have never voted before that you can bring in. That's what Trump did.
Yep.
And I think that, I don't know, I think Roy is better than the average candidate that the coalition has run.
Sure.
For instance, two years ago we had that candidate in the Ward 3 race. I forget her name. She was a school administrator. And she just did not have the time.
Carmen Amaral. They don't dance like Carmen anymore, Jimmy Buffett says.
Yeah. I think she was a good candidate, but she didn't have the time to do the work that Roy has done. That's my
opinion. And she just wanted to head off to Cuba anyway. So
I think I got two quick things.
Go ahead, Mike.
Here's what I think is going to happen in the finals. I'm going to put my finishing touches on it this weekend. But I think it's going to be Ian, Devin Burns, Virgo, Gomes, and Roy. I thought, like you, that Naomi might make a comeback, but I'm starting to back out of that. And the last thing I want to say, I got to give some props to Ian Abreu's daughter. For her age to come into a studio and to do that commercial in one take without no hesitations or anything like that. God bless that young lady. I think she's going to go places as she gets older. Chris, thanks for the time, Jack. I always like to listen to your opinions. You've been around a long time, maybe not as long as me or Chris in the area I'm talking about, but I appreciate listening and what your opinions are on local politics. Everybody have a great day and a nice weekend.
Thanks, Mike Lima. We appreciate that.
Thanks, Mike, very much.
I think Roy undoubtedly has run a good campaign. You can't take that away from him. But I do think, should he get elected, and I do believe he will, is then he's going to have to take votes. Right? David Gerutowski always says, you're never as popular again as you are the first time you get elected. That after that, you have to start taking votes. And then you start to lose people.
Yeah. And I think there is a chance that Naomi can come back. I've been interested whether the remnants of the old machine will work for her. I think one disadvantage she has in the at-large race is that there are three Cape Verdean at-large councilors.
Yes.
And so the Cape Verdean community can't plunk as easily as, or they plunk for different people.
Right.
And so that's a disadvantage because Roy's people, at least the insiders, are going to plunk. Burns's people are going to plunk. Abreu's people are definitely going to plunk.
Absolutely, they're going to. Yes. So I think I look at this election in some respects as a preliminary for the next mayor's race in the at-large. In other words, Burgo and Abreu. Whoever comes in on the top, that's why I think Burgo was trying to go to the top, right? To say, look, not only am I the city council president, but I'm the top vote-getter in the city, in the at-large race. But that will, to your point, Jack, that will hurt Gomes and Carney if Burgo is rallying the Cape Verdean community to just plunk for him.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what's happening there. I think that people are devoted to all of them, especially to Burgo and Gomes. I've had some Cape Verdean people ask, is Naomi Native American or Cape Verdean? She's both.
I'm an Irish guy, and I've asked the same question, Jack. So I don't know. Right?
Well, you know, I'm an Irish guy.
You are.
The culture of my family is Irish, but my mother is a full-blooded Italian.
Yes. So. We have Jack Spillane here in the studio. Let's go back to the phones. We've got people on hold. It's coming down to the wire, guys. It's election time. Hopefully, you'll get an opportunity to meet these candidates. What do you think happens up in Ward 1 where Leo Choquette has a left-winger guy, Bernie Sanders, nice guy though, Matthew Marco, running against him with the endorsement of the Coalition for Social Justice? Is Leo vulnerable?
No. I don't think so. I've been impressed by Matt Marco.
Nice guy.
Smart guy.
Yep.
Has some potential. I don't think he is, you know, there are people who run, who don't really run serious campaigns,
yep,
either because they don't know how or they are unable to. Or they're just not interested.
Yes.
You say, why would you collect the signatures if you're not interested? I think sometimes people just want to get their name out there. I'm not saying that that's what Matt Marco is doing, but I just don't see any evidence. He said during his chat with me that he is knocking on doors, so I take him at his word. But I just don't see the evidence that I'm seeing of some of the other campaigns.
So I can tell you that he's regularly messaging Leo Choquette. Boy, I'm talking to people at the doors. They really like you. So he is kind of nice like that. Naive, maybe. Ward 5, that election, the former city treasurer is running against Joe Lopes, who's been in the papers recently, in your publication anyway. Renee Fernandez running for Ward 5. She's on vacation right now because she'll be here on the 3rd of November. That's the when she'll be back from vacation. So is it really a serious campaign?
You literally mean she's away on vacation?
She's literally on a cruise. She's on a cruise right now.
That's odd.
I have the text messages.
I did not know that. Yeah. That race is an interesting...
That's because you're not on the cruise, Jack. She wants to be your Ward 5 counselor, Jack.
I'm in Ward 4, actually.
Oh, you are? Okay.
That's interesting to me. I thought that the story about Joe Lopes being named in a lawsuit for alleged sexual harassment and then his resignation shortly after from the Workforce Investment Board.
Right.
He went to a similar type organization, but I think in terms of staff, smaller. Joe can correct me if I'm wrong. In Rhode Island, I you know, because women's issues are an issue that we all have to respect and be serious about. Would have been a bigger matter. Renee talked about it a little bit in the beginning of the campaign, but she hasn't gone back to it.
I never understand why people do that. Once you start the attack, do not stop.
Yeah, but she couched the attack that if it's true, he should resign immediately, and then we never heard anything more about it.
Well, since she went on vacation.
I mean, the preference among candidates is to have a third party, you know, do the attacking for you, but there's no evidence of that either. And, you know, Joe may have reasonable explanations in these kinds of lawsuits.
Sure.
I mean, he's not being sued himself. I just emphasize that.
Right.
But he was named in the lawsuit, and he did leave that job soon afterwards.
To be honest with you, I never understood how a city council could have that job.
Well, that's a good question.
Right.
Like, I don't... I mean, it's an NGO, right? A non-governmental organization?
It is... Funded by the government, the mayor of New Bedford appoints all the board members. So you work for the mayor.
Yeah.
And now you're supposed to argue with him in the city council?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Jim Oliveira did it. Joe Lopes did it. And but remember, they managed the money for the entire region from Wareham to Westport up to Lakeville. So it's a lot of money all under the control of the mayor's office.
Yeah. I mean, it's...
The mayor's appointees.
Yeah, I mean, it's... In all honesty, if you work directly for the city, can you run for office? If you work for, say, the school department or the police department? Well, we have someone running for
the
police.
We have Chris Carter.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
I guess... But my question was, you know, and he has been very upfront that he would have to recuse himself...
Yes.
...from police department votes, which is a significant part...
Yes.
...of the city government.
I kind of assume that if Chris is elected... And this is totally me speculating that he would retire from the police department. He's got enough time and he was a veteran.
Oh, okay.
That's my thought. You know, I haven't asked him that, just speculating. Jack, we're going to take a break and then we'll be back. If you're on hold, stay there. We have Jack Spillane from New Bedford Light. Check out his columns at newbedfordlight.org. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
seen his face before. Nobody was really sure he was from the House of Lords. I saw a film today, oh boy. The English army had just won the war. A crowd of people turned away.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. Go ahead, Jack.
I got a question for you, Chris.
Yes, sir.
John Lennon or Paul McCartney? Which one?
Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
He seems to be just a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And John Lennon was tragically, his life was cut short, but
he had an edge to him.
Oh, yeah. Bob Schilling, you know Bob. Bob Schilling once was in his apartment in New York City, helping him open a window. Yeah. A skylight. Yeah. It's a great story. When you see Bob, Bob's got a million stories. Yeah. Bob Schilling, he was there as a radio producer, producing an interview with Yoko Ono. But he says the story, he goes, he knew John Lennon was right behind that bedroom door.
Yeah.
And the door opened, and John Lennon came out and said, "Hey, mate, can you help me with this window?"
Wow.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
All right. And of course, Bob went to Woodstock as well. 508-996-05. Jack Spillane here in the studio. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, gentlemen. Gilly Sassfield.
Good morning.
Hey, Gilly.
Hey, how you doing, Jack? I just want to bring something up because what you said about a sexual harassment with Joe Lopes. Okay, how he quit and everything. But you also got to realize, and I want to put the about Brian Gomes being sexually harassed to the lady that he got fired, and she still made a big settlement with the thing. That's why you haven't heard anything about it. But my main concern is, you know, you got Brian Gomes, and before you didn't know how long Brian has been on there, Jack. It's been 30 years. Okay? It's been 30 years that he's been on a city council. A couple of years ago, do you remember when he ran for mayor and council at large?
Yes.
Okay. He was down at City Hall in the election commission's office. Paul Santos was there covering it. Carlos Felix was there. There was a few other gentlemen. You believe that he said that he's been in the city for the longest time, plus he lived in the city all the time? You know that this is on record. You don't call in up, Jack. He didn't know that the post office closed at 5 o'clock. He thought they closed at 4. That's why he couldn't get the stamp to take the name off. So he ran for both. For a guy that represents the city of New Bedford, don't you think he should have known the post office closes at 5?
There was a lot of problems with those two campaigns.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems. I will say this.
I know there were a lot of problems. I'm going to ask the question. Do you think a guy that's supposed to be representing the people in New Bedford and claim...
Well, thanks for the call, Gilly.
Let me put it this way, Gilly. As a fairly disorganized person myself,
right. Guilty.
You know, I've lived in the city for 26 years, and I forget, you know, when things are open. I think you probably should have known, but you know, I think that there were some issues with that campaign as to what was actually going on, and I've written about them in the past.
Yeah.
I will say this: Brian has always denied the sexual harassment allegations,
yes.
As has Joe Lopes.
Yes.
And Brian took that case all the way to the Supreme Judicial Court.
He did.
And he lost. But he's been elected 3 or 4 times since then. So the voters have spoken, as they did years ago with George Rogers. And
yes.
As I expect they probably will with Joe Lopes.
I think people, they don't know, and they give people the benefit of the doubt.
Well, the President of the United States has had similar allegations, and I think people weigh these things, and they may even think that they're true, but they don't think that they're the complete person, and sometimes they like that person better anyway.
Nobody should be known by their worst moments, and particularly when their worst moments are questionable, right?
Not to say that these matters aren't very serious matters.
Very serious, and the women could be telling the truth. I don't know.
But the voters have spoken about what their judgment was.
Yes. Got a junk car? Well, don't waste time calling around. Make it easy on yourself and get paid top dollar. Call Mid-City Scrap. Mid-City Scrap right in Westport. Get top dollar for your junk car guaranteed with honest weights, fair prices, and towing services available. Mid-City Scrap is the only call to make. No stress, no hidden fees, just cash on the barrelhead. Old school, cash in your pocket fast, all right? Fast. With over 50 years of trusted service all across Bristol County, Mid-City Scrap has turned cars, buses, trucks, even tractors into real money for thousands of people just like you. Call Mid-City Scrap today. They're on State Road in Westport. Check out the website, midcityscrap.com. We have Jack Spillania. We'll be right back. Anything on the school committee? I like that Rick Porter. Yeah, I had him in here.
He's an impressive candidate.
He is.
And I, as we talked about last time, I've never seen the mayor endorse
right
in any local
Thank
race.
Thank you, yes.
And so that's significant. I think the mayor must have felt he needed it. The candidates for school committee are all left of center, in my opinion.
Yes.
And that's what you get on the school committee, people who are interested in that run for it. But he has the most experience. I think they're all, I mean, Marcus Coward is an impressive young man. Von Marie Manes is how she pronounces it, is also very impressive. And then Melissa Coster is the incumbent and has been a force. But I think that the only thing I can say about that race is I would expect that the incumbent and Porter to get in.
Yeah, I think that's accurate.
Yeah, and you know the other two, hard to predict.
It is. Well, you wonder how the coalition handles it because they're endorsing Melissa Costa, Marcus Coward, and Von Marie. I think that's her name. So are there enough votes there? I don't know.
Oh, so they didn't endorse Porter.
I don't think so.
That's interesting. Now, he has been both a union rep and in management. And so he knows both sides of that equation, which is important, I think, because, you know, when you're in the union, you want to advocate for the union.
Yep.
When you're in management, you want to advocate for the school system as a whole and the taxpayers. And so that's kind of interesting, too, that he has experience in both sides of it.
I was telling him and my listeners, he reminds me of my dad in the sense that my dad was a school administrator, line teacher, and a member of the union when he got on the school committee, you know, years ago. So that experience is really necessary.
Yeah, and I think, as we saw in that vote for on the ICE resolution, that the mayor clearly did not support that.
Right.
And he probably wants someone a little more moderate. Although I don't know what Rick Porter's position is on that.
So his position was kind of hazy. I don't think...
A politician.
Yes. I don't think he would support... Because that thing was outrageous. I mean, but I know that the other people on the council, on the school committee, they're all in on that stuff. And I don't get it, but anyway. Jack, I always appreciate you coming in, my friend.
It's good to be here, my friend.
Have a good Halloween. Read Jack Spillane's columns at New Bedford Light. And stick around. We'll have Tom Hodgson coming in next. He's my regular Friday co-host in the 11 o'clock hour. And we're going to have a little bit of local news, some national news. And I understand there was a Eversource, not saying disaster, but some employees were electrocuted. I just got that information, a tip, and we'll find out how devastating it really is.